We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
So let's start talking to Alex Hammerstone, cybersecurity lead for Trusted Sec, our friend, about this ransomware attack. Good morning, Alex. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing very well. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you, sir, for giving us your time. Let's start with what happened and to whom it happened.
Sure. So, you know, as you've kind of seen in the news, this is one of the largest pipelines in the country, and it transmits a lot of the fuel that's used on the East Coast, so it certainly is impactful. But, you know, what we're hearing is that it was a ransomware attack. And once they realized they had that issue going on, they chose to shut down the pipeline in order to prevent anything in their IT systems from doing more damage to the pipeline and those systems. So from what we're hearing, it looks like it didn't actually necessarily affect the pipeline itself, but a lot of the other systems. And out of precaution, they chose to shut it down to prevent the spread.
So one of your colleagues says this is the largest impact on the energy system in the United States we've seen from a cyber attack, full stop. Do you agree?
Absolutely. This is a much bigger impact than we're used to. Obviously, it remains to be seen how large of an impact, how quick they can get it back up and running. But, you know, very quickly, this is one of those things, a lot of cyber incidents only affect the people whose data is affected and things like that. We move on pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. But this has the potential to really have much larger effects and affect, you know, a lot of people that are obviously consuming fuel, but also the potential to make other things more expensive, as we come up into one of the biggest driving weekends of the year. So
how does this get started? You know, in the old days, they asked the old quote is Willie Sutton. They asked him, why did he rob banks? And he says, that's where the money was. That's where they kept the money. When it comes to cyber attacks, do they begin with the attackers generally speaking with the target and the value of the target? Do they begin with vulnerability? How does a hacker go from wherever they are, and we'll talk about that in a little bit, to hacking the Colonial Pipeline or cyber attacking that? How do they decide this is who they want? Talk me through that whole process, if you would, Alex.
So it really depends. Sometimes, the hackers will target a particular organization or government or company or whatever it may be. But other times, they're really just looking at the internet for vulnerabilities. So they run these scanners and they have programs that are just looking for vulnerable systems. They don't even necessarily know what those systems are until they find a vulnerability. And then from there, they'll attempt to exploit it. So oftentimes, you'll see like a charity or some organization, will have an incident, and we wonder why they might target a charity. But in fact, they don't necessarily know it's a charity when they start. They just see vulnerable systems. And obviously other times, if it's political or there are other underlying issues, they may specifically seek out targets that are going to have the biggest effect. And it's tough to know. I mean, they really are after money, though, in general.
So are a lot of people – how prevalent is this? Because I know a lot of companies, when they are attacked, they don't want to, I guess, announce it because they don't want to let anybody else know they were vulnerable. And is it common for companies to pay the ransom? And does that encourage more of it? How does all of that work?
So sometimes, the industry's changed a little bit in that – it used to be that there was, some reasonable assurance if you paid the ransom, you would at least get the keys to try to get your data back. But more and more, that's not happening. Also, there have been a number of these ransomware programs have been cracked, so we kind of know, some of the passwords and encryption keys are able to kind of restore some of the things without, paying the ransom. And but organizations absolutely pay these ransoms. Some don't. It's a choice that they often make kind of in conjunction with working with law enforcement, et cetera. But yes, I mean, absolutely. If people pay the ransoms, then, you know, it's going to absolutely lead to more of this happening. People aren't going to just take down systems for no reason. They want to get paid. And so if you remove that incentive, then it's going to hopefully remove a lot of the activity.
So I'm guessing this has something to do with computers. I'm just kidding, Alex. I just wanted to see if you're listening.
No.
Are there programs that hackers run that almost like, if I can make an analogy to like a radar on a boat that would show where the fish are and where they're not, or sonar, whatever it is. Is there some kind of equivalent to that maybe with a program where they put it out there and look for where the fish are, if that makes any sense?
There absolutely are. And, you know, if you talk to anyone that kind of runs IT at an organization, they'll tell you that they get, you know, kind of scanned or pinged all the time by people kind of checking to see how they're configured and what vulnerabilities they might have. So there absolutely are, you know, programs and hackers out there running all the time looking for these vulnerabilities. And then once they find them, they'll oftentimes, you know, choose to exploit them. One of the things that it's – I'm not being flippant, but it's really there's so many vulnerable systems that there almost aren't enough hackers to exploit all of them.
Wow. So one of my questions has always been, does anybody really understand completely and totally everything about the Internet, about systems, et cetera? And I don't know. Is the answer no to that?
So it really, as things have gotten more complex, the answer becomes, you know, more and more no. It used to be, you know, 15 years ago, it was possible to have a really good handle on, you know, really all the different domains of IT and security and everything else. But now things have become very specialized. And so it really does take groups of people, you know, working together and working in concert to come up with ways to secure these systems. It's not as simple as just one person knowing how to do everything.
How hard is it to find out who's responsible for this?
So it's really varying degrees. You know, this one, FBI and some other organizations have attributed it to a certain group. But oftentimes it's extremely difficult to know who did some of these things. They might share code. They might share the programs they use. So you're not exactly sure from that who did it. It really depends on, you know, how well they cover their tracks and how they do it, how easy it is to attribute. But again, in this case, you know, it seems that they have pretty reasonable, certainty who did it. But that's, you know, really a rarity. It's not attribution is very, very difficult. And, you know, you don't want to get it wrong either. You don't want to blame the wrong person for this.
Now, let me take a quick break. We'll pick it up here when we come back. We're talking to Alex Hammerstone, cybersecurity lead for TrustedSec, a ransomware attack shut down the Colonial Pipeline. How vulnerable is our energy sector? And we'll talk more about power grids, et cetera. And then next half hour, we're going to talk with Greg Upton, an assistant research professor at LSU Center for Energy Studies, about the pipeline and what effect it has on the energy sector, gas prices, et cetera, et cetera. And if you have any questions, please text them in to the WWL Oakland Heart Jeweler Talk and Text line at 504-260-1870. And I'll pass them along when we come back here on WWL. 922 here on WWL. We're talking about the hack of the Colonial Pipeline with Alex Hammerstone, cybersecurity lead for TrustedSec. And everybody can believe whatever they want. That's what America is all about. But some of the texts that I'm getting kind of bemuse me, where it's viewed through a political prism or a conspiracy theory angle. And I would think, Alex, that's what hackers would want people to think, right? Because then they don't check their system, or they and I don't think an IT person would feel that way, but do you think the average person understands how vulnerable we are as a nation as it relates to energy, distribution, etc., to hacking, or how much of a risk it is?
I think that's a couple ways to answer that, but one thing I think people are overall have kind of a lack of understanding about the fragility of really a lot of our modern life. And people don't necessarily understand that, you know, if trucks stopped running, your grocery store would be pretty empty within a day or two, right? I mean, that's the way we do inventory now. And just, you know, we constantly, you know, just kind of are lulled into a sense of security with the fact that every time you flip a switch, the lights come on. And, you know, whenever you go to the gas station, there's gas available, et cetera. And these things all depend on incredibly complicated systems. And, you know, they're vulnerable in a lot of ways. And one of them is with the IT and can be with the security. And so, well, you know, I think we can have assurance that certainly the government has a lot of plans, and, you know, the women and men that are working every day to keep these systems running, you know, are doing their best and work really hard. But there certainly are a lot of vulnerable systems out there that can really, you know, cause a negative effect on our lives if something happens to them.
I don't know how the same person that is worried about their personal information being stolen can think that big institutions, et cetera, are invulnerable to hacks, especially when it's happened so many times before. Quick question. When it comes to what happened with the Colonial Pipeline and other hacks, is this because things have been automated, and if there would be men or women in overalls doing what the computers are doing, that this could not happen? And I know that's a gross oversimplification, but I think you understand what I'm asking.
Well, sure. I mean, absolutely. If, you know, if we went back, you know, a certain number of decades and, you know, nothing were automated and there weren't computers involved, you know, you certainly would not be able to shut down a pipeline, you know, from across the ocean, right? I mean, you'd have to physically be here and, you know, turn knobs and turn things off. So certainly that's true, but that's really true in our homes. That's true in all of our lives. Is everything really is, you know, being automated. It's going online. You know, everything is smart now. You know, so it's 20 years ago, there was really no chance that, you know, a cybersecurity issue could affect your refrigerator. But now that's a reality. I mean, it's almost laughable, I think, to think about. But that a hacker could spoil all your food is kind of ridiculous, right? But that's also true of the systems that we depend on, you know, every day. And there are just so many of them. And they're all interconnected in these complex ways. And complexity oftentimes, you know, breeds vulnerability.
And that, I guess the reason I ask you that is it would seem as though the more we advance, the more we interconnect, the more vulnerable we make ourselves, and the stakes go up.
They absolutely do. But again, it's just, you know, the more you think about it, I mean, everything in life is really about risk management. And so we have to ask ourselves, are the benefits of automating everything and having all this information and being able to, you know, have what we consider a modern society, is it worth the risk? And I think for most people, they would say yes, right? And kind of don't think about it. But I really do think it's a really good illumination of the fact that, you know, most of us don't think about all the things that really enable our daily lives. And we just kind of, you know, again, you flip your switch, the lights come on, and nobody really thinks about everything that goes into that happening. You know, all the logistics, all the systems, all the infrastructure, and all the people that are working hard to make it happen.
So how vulnerable are we? What are your big concerns, and how much should, you know, the average guy like me just goes to work, pays his bills, plays some golf, whatever. This stuff is so beyond whatever technical skills we have. How worried should we be, and how vulnerable? Where are the big vulnerabilities as it relates to our everyday lives?
Well, so I think, you know, with anything, you know, think about probability versus impact. And there are things that have a pretty low probability but would have a really high impact, right? I mean, if somebody were to shut down the power grid for a month, that would have a huge impact, but you know, a lower probability. And that the things that we kind of think about every day that have a much higher probability, like our credit card getting stolen or whatever, are things that a lot of us probably think about. But, you know, we've seen just an absolute explosion in the number of these ransomware events. You know, we've been talking about it, you know, for years. You know, you've seen it, you know, the whole rash of, you know, cities being subject to it. I mean, how many stories in the past few years have we heard about major cities that were, you know, effectively shut down administratively because of ransomware? And you see it, you know, it's affected hospitals. You know, there have been stories overseas where, you know, it's even been attributed, or death has been attributed to it, right? They shut down systems and it affected patient care and people died. And so, well, that's an extreme example. You know, certainly this ransomware is just growing and kind of out of control. And, you know, at this point, you know, somebody asked me a couple of days ago if I thought this would change things. And the answer is I don't know, because we've had some really big negative events and things still haven't changed. So I don't know if this will lead to more regulation or some more effort to secure things, but I'm not holding my breath.
So the bigger the target, the more impact it would have on our everyday lives, the more value it would be to a hacker. Are these big targets spending commensurately with the risk or with the fact that they do have the bigger targets on their back?
Some are and some aren't. I think anybody in the industry would tell you that sometimes you work with large organizations where, you know, you can be a little bit surprised at their security kind of either way. Mm-hmm. But it's just tough, again, because there's so many systems out there that need to be secured. And you know, it's always tough, I think, to get to the right level of protection, you know, whether it's due to budgets or just having the expertise available. Or, you know, the you know, regulations in place. I mean, if you told everyone that their electricity was going to double in cost, but we're going to secure the power generation network, you know, what would people say? They wouldn't be very happy. Mm-hmm. So it can just be tough to get some of this stuff done.
So what would you advise a company that wants to prevent? Let me take a step back first. Did I understand you correctly to say that, and when you said you didn't mean to be flippant, that there aren't enough hackers to take advantage of the weaknesses that exist in the system?
I would say overall. I mean, just the number of vulnerable systems, you know, in the world, there probably aren't enough hackers, you know, to deal with them all, right, to exploit them all. You know, I don't think that's an overstatement. But things are certainly, you know, it's just interesting in my career to watch some things become more secure and get better. Other things, you know, seem to get worse over time. But it's, again, I just think, you know, with this, you know, we'll see how the government responds. You know, I can't imagine that there won't be some type of response. You know, I don't tend to kind of veer into the political, but it'll certainly be interesting because I think this is going to get some kind of response. And I think it may cause people to think twice.
Well, and that's the question I have is that, like, when it comes to warfare today, right, you don't really go to war against a country. You go to war against an ideology or a group of people in a country that don't necessarily represent the country in terms of terrorists. And this is a form of terrorism. It's cyber terrorism. But how do you go about finding out who's responsible and then taking the necessary actions? Because it's one thing to just recover from the attack and not pay the ransom, but if nothing's done, the ransomer, they're just going to go, or the person at the hacker, they're just going to go and find another target. So how hard is it to trace down who's responsible? And then from there, what do you do? Do you turn to the country and ask them to I guess arrest or whatever it is, take action against whomever did this?
Well, so again, the attribution can be challenging. You know, for this, the FBI pointed to the Dark Side group, and you know, that group even came out with a statement, kind of saying that they didn't intend to take down this pipeline. That you know, their goals are not to you know, cause these issues. They just want to make money, because you know, it's one of those things that you know, they probably are a little concerned to have all this attention placed on them. But as far as dealing with it, it's just, it's tough, and it really depends on, you know, where they're located and what kind of support they had. You know, there's a lot of diplomacy involved, you know, and then, you know, whatever the consequences may be. I mean, obviously, if the hackers are in a nation that's friendly to the U.S. and we have extradition and everything else, it's much different, although still challenging, versus a nation that may be hostile and not looking to cooperate with us. So there's, I think, a lot of different, you know, kind of tools and levers the government has, you know, to use. But it really does come down to, you know, a mixture of diplomacy and you know, law enforcement techniques and, you know, and escalation from there, I would assume.
Do you think the U.S. military is on top of this?
I would say, you know, I think that they have some of the absolute best people in the world, some of the smartest people in the world working on it, whether it's, you know, the military resources or, you know, other government agencies. You know, the number of dedicated people that they have that are highly skilled, I think are working day in and day out to prevent it. And, you know, I certainly, you know, have my trust in them. I think they're, you know, they all do the best they can.
So in terms of big hacks, things that would affect our daily lives here in America, what is it that keeps you up at night, Alex, that makes you think, man, that's, boy, this is something that's just waiting to happen?
So That's another tough question. Because again, everything has its vulnerabilities, and I think a lot of us, we're just not aware of what they are. Mm-hmm. I always worry. About any kind of utility. Especially I live in Cleveland, and in the winter, as you can imagine, you certainly mm-hmm. don't want to not have your utilities running. But I think like anything else, there's so much to worry about. Whether it's in cybersecurity or outside of it, that we kind of have to do our best and roll through it. Nothing in particular keeps me up at night. I spend my days, trying to help people out and help organizations out to become more secure. But I think we're just continuing to make progress.
Just to be clear, you said you don't winter in Cleveland. You don't go to Cleveland for the winter. You live there where winters happen, right?
Oh, I live there. I live here. Yeah. We have three nice months a year. So we have that going for us.
That's about what we have. It's not any different here. It's about the same, Alex, just different. Right. Any final thoughts, sir, before we let you go?
I think this is just going to be an interesting story to watch. It's going to be very interesting to see, how long this pipeline stays down and what effects it has. And then from there, I really think that you're going to see some kind of response from the United States.
And where does it stand now? They did not pay, right, the ransom. They just shut it down to minimize the damage, and now they're trying to sort through what happened and close whatever back doors they had or whatever weaknesses they had?
Correct. So that's generally, my understanding. And I obviously I'm not directly involved with the case, so I kind of, mm-hmm. Have seen the reports. But in general, things like this, the first thing you want to do is kind of stop the attack or, get the hackers out of there. And then, go back and make sure that you're kind of closing up whatever doors they came in and getting rid of those vulnerabilities. And then obviously getting things restarted, which will sounds like it's going to be a bit of effort, but I'm looking forward to seeing the gas flow again.
Is there any doubt that the hackers are getting better?
I think it's different. They certainly have kept up with the times. As defenses get better, the hackers get better and kind of vice versa. But again, I think we're just going to continue to see these ransomware attacks, take down systems, my prediction was that it would continue, unabated with municipalities and cities and everything else. But this seems to kind of be a whole other level of things, and we'll see if it continues.
And is there any doubt that we continue to make ourselves more and more vulnerable through automation, et cetera?
Well, I think we increase the attack surface, right? There's a lot more options. Because, again, just using the home example, 20 years ago, if you got into the internet of a house, you weren't going to take down their thermometer. You weren't going to, cause problems with their refrigerator. You weren't going to be able to get into their car. Cars are connected now and everything else. So especially with 5G coming and everything becoming more connected, it really increases the attack surface and the opportunities, for these criminals, hackers to cause issues.
Alex, I appreciate your time. A pleasure as always. Have a good day.
You too. Thanks so much.
Alex Hammerstone, cybersecurity lead for TrustedSec. And I think you could, maybe make a case, like, what is it, the old country lawyer? Well, I'm just a poor country lawyer, but it seems like we're doing away with jobs to automate to make ourselves more vulnerable to an attack. And as we talk about manufacturing jobs coming back, and I know the tech people are just.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.